And it's such a pleasure to be with you all this morning. If you have a Bible handy, would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, please? 2 Timothy chapter 1. For those of you who may not know me, I'm assuming that's a majority of you, I am married to Bailey Romine, who are now Bailey Howard, but she is granddaughter and niece to the Norrises here. And as we were planning out our summer, her dad had asked us when we were coming to visit them. And in my mind, it was kind of a joke, but also kind of an opportunity. I said, well, if you give me an opportunity to preach, I will gladly come down. Because I am an intern at Fairview Park, a church in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we get to planning our summer, and she asks her dad, and he responds, and he says, yeah, just give me a second. And so here I am this morning with a wonderful opportunity to preach before you and bring to you all a lesson, and I hope you all will follow along with me in your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. This morning, what I want to talk to you about is the story of Onesiphorus. Now, Onesiphorus is only mentioned in this chapter in Timothy, or in this book of Timothy, actually. He's mentioned twice, here at the beginning and here and at the very end in chapter 4. But he's mentioned for something specific. He's mentioned for his encouragement. So this morning we're going to talk about Onesiphorus, the encourager. Have you ever had those times in your life where you needed someone to lift you up? Maybe it's some words that they say. Maybe it's some help that they offer you. Because that time in your life when you feel so stressed out by work or others or your spiritual life that you just needed something to encourage you along that way. I think we all have felt that way in our life. And I think we all have had those people in our lives who are just like Onesiphorus for us. Onesiphorus in this passage is mentioned for encouraging Paul. And encouragement is such a vital part of not only the lives here in the Bible, but in our lives as well. In Romans chapter 1, we see Paul telling us in verses 11 through 12 how we're mutually encouraging and strengthening each other when we do come to encourage one another. Our mutual encouragement is there to strengthen us and to guide us farther along in our walks with Christ. And our goal with this lesson is to examine how Onesiphorus does this for Paul and how we can do it like Onesiphorus does. When we look at this passage in 2 Timothy, there's a few things that stick out for me that comes from Onesiphorus. And the first thing in verse 16 is that encouragement is refreshing. Now, what I mean by this is something simple. When we think of refreshing, we think of that cool drink on a summer day, something that cheers us up when we've been working really hard. Or maybe a nice cold breeze on that hot day that just really reinvigorates us to continue doing whatever work we may be doing. Our encouragement is meant to be refreshing in the sense that it reinvigorates us in our spiritual walks. It lifts us up when we are feeling burdened or stressed because of sin and temptation. And Onesiphorus shows us this in verse 16. We see where Paul says, "For he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains." You see, Paul at this time is in prison in Rome. And Onesiphorus comes during this trial in Paul's life and refreshes him so that he can continue in his spiritual journey. And it's important for us to understand that encouragement is refreshing because our lives as Christians, it's not always going to be easy. There are going to be times where it's stressful, where it's difficult, where we feel a little tired and maybe don't want to continue. And that's when we need that refreshing encouragement so that we can be reinvigorated. Now, refreshing works both ways. It's not just a one-way street. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll show you what I mean. Now, when Paul says that Onesiphorus refreshed him by his encouragement, we can understand that refreshment works in that sense, that someone can refresh me. However, refreshment works in the opposite way as well, is that I can refresh someone else. It's not all about who can refresh me, but how can I help someone else? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting in verse 17. I rejoice at the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours. Give recognition to such people. And a couple chapters over in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13. Chapter 7 and verse 13. Therefore we are comforted, and besides our own comfort, we rejoice still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. I can have an encouraging effect on you all that refreshes you. I can do that for you. But at the same time, you all have that same effect on me. The opportunity to be here refreshes me, it reinvigorates me, it encourages me. It works both ways. Titus is refreshed by the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And as a church, we have this effect on others who come to our services. Have you ever had those times where you've had a rough week? And that Wednesday comes around and you're not really feeling like coming to church because you just want some time to just de-stress and relax. Yet you show up at church, you're stressed out, you're tired. But at the end of services, you walk away reinvigorated. Because of those of us around you who were there to lift you up, the singing towards God, the studies in the Bible that encourages us to continue on. That's what Paul is talking about here. That encouragement from the church works as a commutative effect. And it's there to refresh us against our temptations. The way we refresh each other is special and simple. In order to refresh one another, to encourage one another, we simply have to be there with one another. We simply have to be that person who's there to lift one another up and spend time with one another. But how do we become more like Onesiphorus in this matter? Well, we have to identify what holds us back from encouraging, from being that refreshment. And oftentimes when we are struggling with encouraging one another, when we are struggling with being that refreshing person to one another, it's because of our hearts. We simply don't want to do it. We feel like it's going to take us out of our comfort zone to go out and refresh one another. Or sometimes we just maybe don't have the right motivation to do so. There are times I've seen in my life where people have said something or tried to encourage me, but it comes off as dry or unwilling or forced. And I walk away feeling less encouraged by that than what I would if someone just came up and said something simple. If our heart isn't in that encouragement, that refreshing, then it comes off as not really encouraging at all. And if we want to be like Onesiphorus, we have to commit our heart to encouraging one another. We have to understand that there is that need to fill for everyone else. And in order to become like Onesiphorus, we have to focus on the same goal that we all have here. The goal to be in heaven, the goal to finish our walks with Christ. And if our goal is the same, then we're going to strive to lift one another up. We're going to strive to be that refreshing encouragement to one another. Onesiphorus shows us that effective encouragement is refreshing. Look with me again at 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I want to show you another way that Onesiphorus shows us encouragement. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll again start in verse 16. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. Encouragement not only is refreshing, but it's unrestricted as well. Do you see what Onesiphorus does for Paul? Onesiphorus isn't restricted by whatever distance he had to travel to Rome. We read later in chapter 1 that Onesiphorus worked in Ephesus. And that's a long journey between Ephesus and Rome. Yet he wasn't restricted by any type of travel that he may have had to do. Onesiphorus wasn't restricted as well by Paul's imprisonment. At this time, the Christians in Rome were being persecuted. They were being thrown in jail for preaching and teaching the gospel. But that didn't stop Onesiphorus from going to see Paul. That didn't stop Onesiphorus from understanding that he may be persecuted as well. He's not restricted at all in any physical sense in his encouragement. And he's not restricted in any mental sense of his encouragement either. There's no statement that we see from Paul that shows a lack of or a hesitancy from Onesiphorus. He just goes out and does it. Nothing stops him. We can be restricted in our own encouragement. Sometimes we're restricted by shame. I don't know how to encourage someone. I don't know if I'm the right person to encourage someone. I just don't think I'm able to do it. I'm ashamed of my shortcomings, and I don't encourage you. I'm ashamed that because I may not be able to say the right words or do the right things, that I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to put myself out there like that. Sometimes my encouragement is held back by a lack of a feeling for you or a grudge against you. Maybe you've done something in the past that has upset me. Maybe you've said some things that I just really don't agree with. And if I am held back by those grudges, then I'm not going to want to encourage you in your walk. I'm going to forget that we have the same goal, and I'm just going to push on with my own life. Most of all, however, our encouragement is held back by one thing. It's held back by an idea of selfishness. That if I'm going to encourage you, I have to go out of my own way. I have to give up my own time. I have to give up my own energy to encourage you. And you know what? That just doesn't work for me. When we are selfish, when we forget about others, we aren't able to encourage one another in our own journey. We're unable to be like Onesiphorus. And just because I don't want to feel uncomfortable, or just because I have to give up some of my own time, doesn't mean I shouldn't be encouraging you. Our encouragement should be unrestricted in all senses. And so in order to become unrestrictive in my encouragement, I'm going to have to forego myself. I'm going to have to put aside my own selfish wants and look at your needs and look at what would help you in your moments and go for that. It means my desires are second place and encouraging comes first. Onesiphorus goes to Rome. He doesn't stop anywhere in between. He goes straight to Paul to encourage him, as we see. That's what our encouragement should be like. We shouldn't think about a long journey or the time that it takes up from ourselves or the oppression that may come for us. But we should just see the need and go and fill it. An unrestricted encouragement requires me to see someone's need. It requires me to understand what you're going through. And if I want to encourage someone, then I'm going to need to know what you are going through. If someone is sick, then encouragement may mean a prayer, or a visit in the hospital, or a meal. It may mean staking some of my time where I may have been doing something differently, and going to a hospital to visit someone. If someone is struggling with sin or temptation in their life, then encouragement may mean I take some of my time and sit with them, and talk to them, and ask them what they need from me. And turn to their needs instead of myself. Sometimes encouragement is only just a listening ear. Sometimes we all need that person that we could just rant to or vent to and talk about things that we are going through. And then once we're done with that, we feel a lot less burdened by those stresses. Encouragement comes in different ways. But above all, encouragement is unrestricted. Nothing holds it back. And if something holds it back, then we aren't like Onesiphorus to Paul. Thirdly, Onesiphorus shows us that encouragement is opportunistic. Now, what I mean by this is simple. Opportunistic means simply to seek an opportunity, to find some way to work. In verses 16 through 18, we see how Onesiphorus is opportunistic. He sees Paul's needs. He understands where Paul is at. And he goes to Paul to refresh him. Like we've mentioned before, Onesiphorus does all this because he's unrestricted. But it's also because he's seeking out an opportunity to help Paul. Just like we need to be seeking out opportunities to encourage one another. And like I said, there are some things that can stop us from being opportunistic or restricted. It all comes down to our attitude or our heart, whether or not we feel up to the task. Whether or not we want to help someone out. And if I'm not looking for an opportunity, it just means that, well, I really don't want to encourage someone. We have to overcome that objection or restriction in our life, like I've mentioned. We see many examples of this in the Bible, not just of Onesiphorus, of people who are opportunistic in their encouragement. We have the example of Barnabas all throughout the New Testament, whose name literally means encourager. He's always seeking out an opportunity to encourage one another. He goes on the missionary journeys with Paul to encourage the churches and start new churches in their journeys. He shows us how to be opportunistic in a world that's seemingly dark or without opportunity. He shows us that there is always a chance to lift someone else up and to teach someone else and bring others through the encouragement and love of Christ. In Acts chapter 15, if you'll turn with me there, we see the encouragement of Judas and Silas in a letter that is written to them, or towards Gentile Christians, rather. Acts chapter 15, starting in verse 31, and I'll show you what I mean. Actually, we'll start in verse 30. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. After they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers who had sent them. Judas and Silas remained with the church to encourage them, to lift them up. There was an opportunity at this church, and they stayed there and fulfilled that opportunity. This is what we need to be doing in our lives. We have to look for opportunities to encourage, to help one another. And there are different ways this appears in our own lives as people who are seeking opportunity. Growing up, the best source of encouragement for me came from my parents. They were always there to either tell me whether I've done a good job or tell me how to fix it so I could do a better job next time. They were there to lift me up if I had a bad ball game. They were there to strengthen me if I just felt tired or weak. My parents were that encouragement that I needed. And that's how parents can be encouragements continually nowadays. Our spouses are great sources of encouragement. Oftentimes, there are times where I come home from work where I've been studying and tired and listened to a lot of things. And I come home and I just need my wife to just listen to me and help me through it. And oftentimes, she comes up with better ideas than I could ever hope for. But our spouses are there to encourage us, to lift us up when we feel weak or tired. Our friends have opportunities to encourage us, and we have opportunities to encourage them. When we have a true friendship, someone who's always there for us, they know our weaknesses. They know our struggles. And we can encourage them because we know theirs as well. There's always an opportunity to encourage someone else. And all it takes is us getting to know people and learning more about them. It always comes from different sources, too. There's never one same source, but always separate ones. And if we can learn anything from Onesiphorus, we can see that there is a need for encouragement. It's not just a want, it's not just a desire, but there is a need to encourage one another. Paul's in prison, and Onesiphorus fills that need. Paul is struggling, and Onesiphorus fills that need. Our need that we should be seeking is to lift one another up in Christ, to build one another up, so those times where we feel weak or burdened by temptation and sin, that we can turn to one another and understand that our brothers and sisters in Christ are there to help us out. And likewise, we are there to help them out. Now, this doesn't mean when we seek opportunities or we feel like we need encouragement, this doesn't mean that we hide things about situations that people are in. It doesn't mean I cover up something that may be difficult for you to go through. But it does mean I'm there to encourage you. I can't mask or overlook a temptation or a sickness or something like that. But I can be there to strengthen you, to help you through that trial, so that when we come out of it, when you come out of it, you're stronger and more focused on Christ and His encouragement. Onesiphorus shows us the power of encouragement. He shows us what it looks like. He shows us how it's unrestricted, how it's refreshing. He shows us how it's opportunistic. He has four sentences written about him in the entire Bible. But what we can see from him is even someone who has so little written about him has so much to offer for each and every one of us. If we ever feel like we don't know what refreshing encouragement looks like or opportunistic encouragement looks like, all we have to do is turn to 2 Timothy and we can see an example of that. Onesiphorus shows us how our encouragement is a blessing to one another and a reward to one another. As well as this, we can see that Paul mentions a blessing that comes upon Onesiphorus. There's a blessing for those who are encouragers. Our encouragement should be a blessing to one another as well, and it should be there to help one another. And our encouragement should be all of these things. It should be refreshing, unrestricted, and resourceful or opportunistic. And once we understand that, we will see those opportunities come about. We will grow closer with one another because we will understand our needs. And we will truly be the encourager that Onesiphorus is. Will you pray with me about that, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you now, so thankful for the opportunities we have this morning to study in your word and to worship from you. Father, we pray that as we go throughout our lives and throughout our weeks, that we seek opportunity to encourage one another, that we get to know one another and refresh each other, that we become encouragers like Onesiphorus is to Paul. Father, we understand that there are restrictions to our encouragement when we feel ashamed or held back, and we pray that you will help us to overcome those restrictions and become like Onesiphorus and always have that willing heart to encourage one another. We thank you so much for the great encourager you have given us, and not only Onesiphorus, but in your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. At every opportunity, we like to offer the chance to obey the gospel, to become that source of encouragement for one another, and to be encouraged by your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And if there's anyone here this morning who would like to obey the gospel, won't you come now while we stand and sing?